You are listening to Revolution Rock. David and Adam with you, and we came back from a set there of music where, if you happen to be in Windsor, Ontario, on August 17th, you have a chance to see these artists live. This was all music from bands playing a show tonight at the Meteor Lounge, August 17th. Sure to be a great show. Make sure to check it out. And if you're listening to this on a repeat or on one of our syndicated stations that play the show, with that said, check out these bands. They're all worthwhile. We ended off with some material from PAX, and before we even get to the songs themselves, David, we would be fools, regular donkeys, if we didn't mention the fact that we actually interviewed Madeline Link from PAX and had a wonderful discussion with her.
Yes, we want to thank Madeline and everyone within the band for helping us get that going, and their management. Back in March, we spoke with Madeline and did a whole show based on PAX and PAX-related music. But we ended off that set with two songs from PAX. We heard something from 2021's Take the Cake. We heard Silver Tongue. And then we had a track from Melt the Honey, which came out in January of this year, called Her Garden.
Now, prior to that, we heard from those two Windsor bands. We heard a release from Bitters from a single that they released last year. It was the A-side from their single, I'm Not There. Now, Bitters has also released a full-length record, so you can check that out. That was released earlier this year. And another release that just dropped this year is by Heavenly Sweetheart, a newer act. They incorporate some elements of power pop, punk, a little bit of alternative, making a very sweet, sugary sound. It's like a sugary amplifier punching you in the face. I think that's the best description of it. We heard the song Forgot Something from the EP of that same name, and we started things off with yet another track from PAX.
Yeah, we heard the track Honey from Melt the Honey. We should also mention, maybe if people aren't aware of Heavenly Sweetheart, it kind of evolved from the band Pretty Maddie, featuring Matt Morand and Sam Belitsky of Pretty Maddie and Pony.
Yeah.
And then they're now a three-piece with Sean Carpenter, who also plays drums in Psychic Void. And since it was kind of a new thing, they have a new band.
You know, I like the sound that they have. I think there's almost an element to shoegaze in there, which I appreciate. They're expanding it. You definitely hear those familiar elements, but there's a little bit more added to it. I really hope this band goes places along with the trajectory of the previously mentioned acts. Really good stuff, and a really great show, I'm sure. Make sure to check it out if you get a chance to.
Yep, PAX tonight at the Meteor here in Windsor. So go check that show out. It will be cool. And speaking of cool, coming next, we're going to be doing a little bit of a celebration of some albums that came out a while ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right. In fact, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the artists might be a little bit surprising to play here in Revolution Rock. I don't think people think of him necessarily as a big rock guy, but he definitely cut his teeth in the alternative indie scene for a long time, and I think you could even argue redefined where independent and alternative music was going, and that's Jeff Buckley. Jeff Buckley, of course, I think is ubiquitously known for his cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. It's to the point now where no matter how beautiful it is, I think most people can't stand hearing it anymore, because there was this weird resurgence of the song in the early 2000s to late 2000s, I want to say, where you just heard it all the time. And don't get me wrong, it is the definitive version of it, but my God, it was everywhere.
It was.
But to the point where it drowned out the rest of his discography, and it's a shame. He only had one album to his name before an unfortunate passing at a very young age, but that album was Grace, an album that redefined alternative rock, where people thought about getting away from distorted amps and, you know, lo-fi noise into something a little bit more refined. And, you know, even Tom York from Radiohead said, this album redefined where Radiohead were going to go for the rest of their discography. So in terms of influence, that's something to say in and of itself. We should also mention Jeff Buckley, of course, infamously was the son of Tim Buckley,
yes,
the other great vocalist. Much like his father, met an unfortunate fate at a very young age. And it was right on the cusp of him recording a new album that would have been produced by Tom Verlaine of Television, which who knows what that would have ended up as. We have kind of like a rough version of it called Sketches for My Sweetheart the Drunk, which was kind of like a series of demos of what could have happened with that record. And it sounds amazing, but what we do have is this wonderful encapsulation of Jeff Buckley's career with Grace. So we're going to hear a track from that, and Again, a song that you might be surprised that he covered, but he loved this band, and he loved a lot of punk and a lot of underground music. He's going to do a cover of Kick Out the Jams. And we're also going to hear, starting off, two songs from Sebado, which you probably know is Lou Barlow from Dinosaur Jr. He started a band after a very tumultuous breakup with Jay Masses from Dinosaur Jr. and made this great lo-fi singer-songwriter collective with Sebado, and it had many iterations, but it finally, I think, permutated at its height with this album Bake Sale from 1994. And it's funny because pairing these two albums that were released the same day 30 years ago, you have one very refined, very ethereal sounding record and one that is as scuzzy and dirty and noisy as possible. And it's such an interesting pairing, but it really shows you how wonderfully diverse the range of alternative music was at that point in 1994. So here we are, celebrating two 30th anniversaries, starting with something from Bake Sale by Sebado with the track Rebound.
So fair. of another. Dream, brother, with your tears scattered round the world. Don't be like the one who made me so. Don't be like the one who left behind his name. 'Cause they're waiting for you like I waited for mine, and nobody ever came.
You're tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. We just came back there from a set of albums, music from albums, celebrating a 30th anniversary.
Yeah, so these were both albums released in 1994, and two albums that were kind of both within the camp of alternative or independent rock, but pretty polarized in terms of their
very
sound.
Very different musically, yes.
So I hope these songs may surprise some people. Usually with Jeff Buckley, people expect to hear this very fragile, this very ethereal sound, probably best perpetuated from his very famous cover of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, but he had different elements to him. He definitely was someone who enjoyed a lot of punk, a lot of underground music, even some hard rock, and you could hear this range, especially with this legacy edition of Grace, his sole album released during his lifetime in 1994, which is celebrating 30 years this week, actually. We heard a very psychedelic song that ended off that album called Dream Brother, as a lot of people interpreted it as a sort of, I guess you could say, a tribute to his father, Tim Buckley, who passed away at a young age. And unfortunately, his son met a similar fate, passing away. It would have been just 3 years later. in the midst of preparing another album that would have been his sophomore release. It was tragic to hear, but he did leave behind an incredible solo record and a number of other recordings as well that have been unearthed, including this. I don't think I was prepared when I found this out. A completely electric, non-stop, fist-pumping version of Kick Out the Jams, of course, originally done by the ever-famous MC5. But yeah, you can find this off the Legacy Edition. This is one of those kernels, one of those treats that you would be so shocked to find out that he did. And I love this rendition. Even with that very, you know, high, very restrained vocal, he is powerful on this. It's incredible.
And yeah, really cool stuff there. And then we had two tracks from Sebado before that, celebrating the Bake Sale album.
Yeah, Bake Sale, which is also known as the famous record of Lou Barlow as a naked infant peering into a toilet, which is, you know, a very infamous album cover. But yeah, this was probably the highest not only that Sebado got in terms of their chart-topping success, probably the most in their critical success as well, arguably also while they're recording the album, but that's another thing. We heard Careful and Rebound, both from this record. There's also a Legacy Edition of Bake Sale that was released that includes a number of demos, including lone versions of these songs done acoustically by Lou Barlow without the rest of the band, which give it a very different feel. But I wanted to go for those original scuzzy electric versions because they're so good. Two albums celebrating 30 years, both wonderful. And, you know, another band that would have been around that same time that also was releasing music around 94 would, of course, be Mudhoney.
Yes, so we're going to play a selection of songs from Mudhoney and from bands that Steve Turner has been a part of, whether just as a member or as a, you know, writing and performing with. And all this kind of was spurred on by me reading Mudride, Steve Turner's biography, which I do highly recommend. It's in chronological order, I guess, but it covers a lot of stuff throughout his career, which is pretty interesting, and
including his label that he made.
Yeah, his label that we made. We're going to be playing a set of releases from that a little later on. But the label wound up putting out some pretty cool stuff, like early material from Holly Golightly, and then also early music from the Wellwater Conspiracy, which was a psychedelic rock band formed by Matt Cameron of Soundgarden, and also the bassist from Soundgarden, Ben Shepherd, I believe.
Yeah, not to mention The Headcoats. That was another one that they released.
That was another one. They put out an album from The Headcoats. And it says online that, and he mentions it in the book, but it says online that that label ended around 2016. But I think they stopped putting out music and releases in the late 90s. But anyways, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. A few bands we're going to hear in this set, in addition to Mudhoney, is an early band he was in, kind of just before Mudhoney started, called The Throne Ups. I'm not sure if you're familiar or know anything about this band.
This is my first time okay. ever even hearing the name.
So
I feel nauseated.
As you learn reading the book, he grew up with hardcore and punk music, and that's what was going on when he was growing up, and he went to a lot of shows, seeing bands like Black Flag, things like that, that were new at the time. And he kind of started drifting towards different stuff, like a lot of people in the scene, and in Seattle. And he wound up getting into garage rock and a whole bunch of other things thereafter. But one of the first bands he was in, not counting Green River, we should mention Green River was an important band.
It was very important, yes.
Because although, as he mentions in the book, he does not really like the music that much. Green River was basically a combination of Pearl Jam and Mudhoney. Steve Turner and Mark Arm would later form Mudhoney. And then Jeff Ament and Stone Gossard would be part of Pearl Jam. But anyways, The Throne Ups was very different. So it featured Ed Fotheringham, I believe is his name, who went on to do some stuff in, I think he was an illustrator. He did the cover to Mudhoney's second album.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, in this band, the rule was that there are no rules. And the rule was that they don't practice, but they make up stuff on the spot. This also included when they were recording music and playing live shows, while they did play songs, you know, that they were making up, they never practiced, and it was almost always improvised. And he talks a lot about this. He goes, it works sometimes great and sometimes not.
Well, we're going to see which version of that we hear here. And then in addition to the Throne Ups, we're also going to hear something from a group, and I love the name of this, Steve Turner and His Bad Ideas.
Yes,